1 John 4 and 6. We'll go ahead and read the Greek, of course. Then we're going to expound on it in English. And you that've been in the class for a long time, you know that if you hang around in here for a while, you're going to learn how to read Greek, whether you know how or whether you realize it or not. Hemeis. Ek. Tu. Theou. Esmen. Ho. Gnoskon. Ton. Theon. Akue. Hemon. Hos. Uk. Esten. Ek. Tu. Theou. Uk. Akue, Himon, Ek, Tuto, Gnoskomen, To, Numa, Tais, Aletheos, Kai. Come on, guys. Go ahead of me. To, Numa, Tais, Planes. All right. Now, that was a long verse. Okay. 4, 6a and b. Hemeis. That's pretty easy. All right, hemeis. That's the first word. And the next one, you could read it in English or Greek, either one, because it's the same. See, that's easy. Hemeis, we. Nominative plural. First personal pronoun, that means we. If I'm talking about.
You're going to have to show me where you're at.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know where you're at.
All right. Right here, hemeis.
Oh, okay.
Hemeis, ek, tu, theou. All right. And we went on the next page also when you rolled it over. Right down, it says we right down below that, doesn't it? Now, we in English is a first, it's a plural first personal pronoun. All right? That's what it is, we. We, and what it's talking about, we're talking about those that are born of Satan and those who are born of God. Satan's children, Satan does a trick on us. He pulls a trick on us. He uses the lust of our flesh to entice us and to entangle us in his work. He does. He uses the lust of our own flesh to entice us and entangle us in his work, and then we're enslaved to it. All right? We're enslaved to it. But when we're born again, born of God, now the flesh is still there, isn't it? But the power of the flesh over us is not near so strong, is it? Because now we have the mind of God in us and the Spirit of God in us that wants, and that's what we've studied for the last 2 or 3 weeks now. We have the Spirit of God in us to lead us to God's stuff. And God's children, it says in the last few verses, if you're a child of God, you will hear His voice. All right? And John, the 10th chapter, the Gospel according to the John, he said, Jesus said, when he said, I am the good what?
Shepherd.
He said, I know my sheep, and they know me, and the shepherd knows the cries of the sheep, and the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Plain as that. Now, that's real easy. Now, we're going to see all of that in this verse also. Right here. We, ek. See that word ek there? Now, you can read that. If you don't know any Greek at all, you can read that verse right there, or that word right there, ek. First John 4 and verse 6. I used to have to take this roll all the time. Now I'm doing it because my wife's sick. Slows me up. All right. 1 John 4 and 6. And we, out of the God. Now, we're born out of God. We're out of God, aren't we? Now, all mankind came from God, period. But when, after Adam sinned, when we're born into this world, we're born into this world slaves to the spirit of error, aren't we? But when we're born again, then we are servants of God. And we can call him master and like it.
Sons.
Yeah.
Of God.
Sons. Yeah, sons of God. But we can call him master and really mean it.
Yeah. We make ourselves servants. Yeah.
That's right.
He makes us sons.
Yeah. That's right. We can call him master, and we can be a servant because we want to, because he's a good father. All right. We, out of the God, we are. That's beautiful. It has two we's in this verse. We there, the first person plural, and then Esmen is first person plural, present indicative active from Amy, which is I am. Okay, so we are. We are. We, out of the God, we will continue to be forever. Once you're born of God, you're born of God, aren't you? There's no being unborn at all. You're born of God, you're born of God, period.
He's taking steps to ensure it.
Yes.
We are guaranteed.
Uh-huh.
It's a certainty.
Yeah, it's a certainty. Well, now, when you're born into this world, Brother David, David Lenz, I got two David Lenz here tonight. Brother, this David over here, this David Lenz Bratcher right over here, one followed me all the way out to Southern Baptist Church in Fairfax Sunday. I appreciate that, brother. Brother, when you were born into this world, do you think you could be unborn?
No, I didn't think so.
No, it's pretty impossible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unless you're in some time machine or something. In the Twilight Zone or something, you know, what they call Twilight Zone, I guess what they call that on television. And you could not exist or something, you know. I mean, that's fantasy. But once you've been born, you can't be unborn. You're born. I don't care what happens. Your daddy, your mama may not like you. They may throw you away in this world, but you're still born, and you still have the same mother and the same father, period. Well, when you're born of God, you are born of God, period. That's it. You're not going to get unborn. It's for good. In finality. And we, out of the God, we are always. Okay? Now it starts talking about some things here. It says whole there. See that word whole? That's an O, and it's got a rough breather on it. Rough breather is a...
I got a quick question.
Yes, sir.
Under theo, to theo,
yeah.
We have world.
Yeah, we do.
Well, just... I was probably asleep when I wrote that. Okay, out of the God. Okay, put down God there.
Okay,
put down God. All right, erase that other. All right, now whole, here is a rough breather like that. That's what it looks like. It's just a...
H sound.
Okay, and that makes that O there, it puts a H in front of it, so it's whole. And that's a definite article, and it's a nominative singular masculine definite article. Don't be afraid of that stuff. You'll learn it here sooner or later. And then the definite article is a the... Horiskon, Arthron in Greek, okay? But it's describing, it pointing, it's like an arrow pointing this way, out on the freeway, you know, it has arrows, and it'll have an arrow with a X to it or something, you know, one of those things, don't go this way. Well, this, above, just simply is a pointer, and it points to something. And this pointer is pointing to a word that comes from gnosko. And it's gnoskon, present participle active nominative singular masculine. First of all, already you knew that because you had a definite article in front of it that's nominative singular masculine on it, okay? So that tells you what case that's in because it's describing that. The one knowing, the one always knowing the God. Understanding. How do you begin to understand God? How do you begin to understand God? There's a lot of people out in the world. Now, anybody can buy a Bible, can't they? Lost and saved people, whatever. Some Mormon, some Jehovah's Witness can buy a Bible. Just any average run-of-the-mill person on the face of God's earth can buy a Bible. But how do you get to know God?
By experience, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Experimental knowledge. That's number one.
Uh-huh. That's it. First of all, you...
Not even but to know Him, have an acquaintance with Him.
Okay.
Personal relationship.
That's different. We can read about God in the Bible. We can see, and you can read it in Hebrew, Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Es HaShemayim with S-R-R-H. You can read that in Hebrew. But don't mean that. If you know what it means, it don't mean anything. There's people can read Hebrew that don't know God. Did you know that? People can read Greek that don't know God. People can read English, you don't know God. What introduces you to God?
God introduces you to God.
Oh, that's right.
Through His Word.
Yeah, through His Word.
Done.
All right, the Word of God, we take the Word of God. And the good thing about this right here, this is it. I mean, this is direct. This is the inspired Word right here. This is nothing in between. We're reading it just like God gave it to us, okay? First hand, not second hand. We're reading it first hand. We read the Word of God, and God convicts your heart of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Now, the Word of God does that. It will do it every time. Sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And who does that? The Holy Spirit. Now, that's what we're going to find out here in just a little bit. The Holy Spirit of God convicts our heart of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. He does.
That's the only place you'll ever get that knowledge.
That's right. Then you get conviction, and then you start applying. Then you find out that you're lost. That you're undone without God. You don't have to sacrifice to come to God. I remember when I read the Old Testament the first time, I was lost. And I read the Old Testament, I was an unhappy camper. I couldn't figure this out. I mean, I was just done for. I didn't know what I was supposed to go out there and offer my dog up on an altar or my chicken or whatever, you know. I mean, I was upset until I got to the New Testament where we talk Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. That's four testimonies there telling about Jesus coming. Well, He did come. All right, and He died for our sins. And when you get acquainted with God through the Holy Spirit and you ask Him to save you, and you ask Him to forgive you your sins, then you're His son. Now He's your daddy. All right? That's nice. That's a whole different story now. Then's when you get acquainted with Him. Then's when you start to understand Him. And as we see in this book, the next verse, we're going to talk about the love of God. He shares, when we're born again, then He begins to share His personality with us. Isn't that nice? Because we're His sons. So He shares His personality. We, out of the God, we are the one knowing, continually knowing, the one understanding, the God. And then it says, He hears. When we know God, He hears. Remember, Jesus talked, Psalm 23 in the Old Testament, "The Lord is my shepherd," etc. "He leads me behind still waters," or beside still waters. "He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I've got a nice pasture where I can eat. I'm in safety." That's David's idea of heaven. That's what it was. Psalm 23. In the New Testament, we have Psalm 23 in John, the 10th chapter. There's where we have another Psalm 23. "I am the good shepherd." Now, here we have a Savior that is a sheep, the sacrificial sheep. And He's the shepherd too. We have a God that knows us. Think about that. We have a God that knows us because He became as we are. He walked in your shoes. There's an old Indian saying at one time a long ago, "Don't judge your brother until you walk a mile in his moccasins." Jesus did that. So every little temptation, every little thing that you feel in your life, the Lord has already understood that because He breathed and walked and lived on this earth in flesh. The one knowing, the God. Look at that word ton theon there. That's accused of singular masculine, by the way. How many cases are there in classical and Koine Greek? Eight cases. Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. That's eight cases. In English, how many cases do we have, basically?
Just in case.
Just in case. How about Brother David? You know?
Three.
How many?
Three.
What are they? Do you know?
Past,
present, future. No, that's verbs.
That's who?
That's tenses.
Oh, that's.
That's tenses. See,
oh,
that's different.
Oh,
I'm talking about cases.
You're talking about
cases. Now, that's different. All right, I wonder if you got that third one. There's the case of the subject, the nominative, and the case of the object. Here's the one doing something, and the other one's getting something done to him. That's what we have in English. That's all.
But
in, yeah, Well, in English, we have a case of a subject and an object. We have a person doing something and a person getting something. It says, knowing the God. We're knowing, and we're knowing Him. The action is going toward God. We know God. Okay? That's accusative singular masculine. Definite article, that tone, and then theon. All right? Now, the word theon is really easy.
It's this word right here. That's it.
All right? Now, comes from theos. Like that. Here we have that one, and that's the accusative singular masculine because it's got that on the end of it. Right here, it would be nominative singular masculine. Okay? Number, gender, and case. What?
Shouldn't it be in
unseals? Well, you can put it in unseals if you want to. But you mean all capitals?
Yeah.
Well, this is capital here, but that's lowercase. You could write it like this. All right. Like that? Is that what you want?
Well,
and God is capitalized, yeah. At least the first, which is capitalized.
Right.
Okay. I'm piecing them too much, Mother Blake. They're learning. Capitalized. Yes, it should be capitalized.
Old teachers used to carry a stick about this big around.
Yeah.
And they kept their pupils in line.
Oh, okay. The one knowing the God. He is receiving the action because we know Him. That's the action right there, okay? Knowing the God, and then it says akue. Akue. That's third person singular, present indicative active. Third person singular is what? First is I, you, he, she, or an it. Okay, so it's he. Because we know the person now. He, what? It comes from akuo. What word in English comes from akuo in Greek? Come on, there's an English word for a cool old drink. What?
Hears?
Well?
Hears.
Hears, yeah, hears. But what word in English comes right straight out of Greek?
The acoustic.
Acoustics. Okay. All right. Acoustic. All right. And what's the word for ear also?
Audio.
Ear doctor, what?
Audio,
yeah. But it's Octic or something like that.
Auricular.
Yeah.
Auricular.
Yeah. Anyway, our word acoustic comes right straight out of Greek. So you can understand Greek because we have so much English that comes from it. All right? He hears, third person singular present, indicative act. Present tense is right now going on. Indicative mode is a fact. And active voice, he does it. God hears us always, doesn't he? How long does it take God to answer your prayers?
He answered mine before we ever created the world.
That's right. How long did God plan on answering your prayer, negative or positive?
It's impossible to tell. They don't have calendars back then.
Think about it for a while. I mean, you ask something today. You've got a problem today. Just think about for a little while when Israel went into the Promised Land, when they were fighting all those guys and having all kinds of trouble with them. There was one time when Joshua went out there, and he was a real fighter, wasn't he? He asked for the day to be lengthened, didn't he? Because he was a whooping on them. But also, God started raining stones out of heaven on these guys, and I mean, these were guided missiles, boy. I mean, really, they were hitting, and they killed. God killed more of them than Joshua and Caleb and his armies killed. Now, just think about this for a while. Talk about your prayers and how long God knew this. God knows your prayers before you ever pray them. Okay? But just look, how long do those little meteorites, how long were they out there in the universe that hit those guys?
God, as Roger keeps saying, God has never said oops.
Think about that for a while. Think about that one. How long ago did God plan for that little situation?
He's planned it all out before he ever made the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he hears us. All right, he hears us. All right, hears of us is what a genitive plural. First personal pronoun. And then we have a little relative pronoun there, that hosts there. That's an omicron sigma, O-S looking thing. And it's hosts, All right? Hos uk este. Who, not he is, the one, not he is, ek tu theou, the one that's not out of God, the one that's not generated from God, the lost man.
The natural man.
The natural man, the Adamic nature. We Adamically do bad things. The word there in Greek for the bad things is kakos. Kakos. All right?
It's about like it sounds.
Huh? Yeah. That's the little word right there. That is Adamic meanness. Well, that's it. That's Adamic meanness. This here comes from our nature, kakos. Now, if you get real bad, that's pornia.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's practiced, that's intentional. You're Adamically mean, you have got an Adamic nature, and you do these bad deeds. But when you go away from God, intentionally, the word pornography, that's what that word comes from, the word prostitution.
What everybody needs to do is to get rid of the pornograph players.
All right.
Pornography.
Yeah.
They don't have any pornograph players.
Yeah. Who, not he is out of God, continues to be out of the God, that's oblative, the one that's not born out of God, okay? Not he hears us. The one, if you get somebody come to church, they have one of two reactions. They're either going to get mad and leave and not come back, or they're going to hear. Now, a child of God will hear. Sometimes you get under conviction if you're not doing the right thing. You do that. You get in trouble with the Lord, and you go and you hear the Word of God, and God troubles your heart, and then you give up. Sometimes it makes take you a while to give up, doesn't it? As you go. But you hear. But you hear God. God, the ones out of God, hear God's Word. The ones that are not out of God rebel against God's Word. Simple as that. That's what it says right here. Not he hears us. The one that's not born of God won't hear us. He don't want to. And look at that word. Third person singular present, indicative active. That comes from akouo. All right? Not he continues to hear us. When do you begin to hear God? When God's Spirit convicts you of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, and you call upon Him to save you, and the Spirit of God comes and lives in you, and you are a child of God. You are a technon of God. What does technon mean?
Born child.
It's born child, all right, but what is it? What's it really literally mean? A live birth. Live birth. Live birth. That's what you're, a live birth. So you've been born of God and you're alive unto God. Before you were dead unto God. Remember that. Before we're saved, we're dead unto God. But when we're born again, we're alive unto God. We're a live birth. So then he hears us and we hear him. And then it says ek tuto. And this is kind of a little figure of speech here. Ek tuto. It literally means out of this, but it also can mean because of this. Because of this thing. Because of what's going on up here. Because we've been born again. Either we hear or we don't hear. Because of this, gnosko men. First person plural, present indicative action from gnosko. We know. We understand. We know because of this, or out of this, we know the Spirit. Because of this, we know the Spirit. Think about that, the Spirit. Tais aletheos. The Spirit of what? Aletheos is what? Remember, a woman's name used to be Althea.
Oh, that's true.
Truth. We know the Spirit of truth. Now, how many spirits are there in the world?
Many.
Mucho.
Many.
many, many, many spirits in the world. But there are spirits of God, and we're talking about the Spirit of God now, the Spirit of God. We know the Spirit of God, but we also know that there are spirits of error out there. What keeps a Catholic on his knees to Mary and to the idols in the Catholic Church?
Well, where do you begin? Fear and divination.
But what is it?
Evil spirits.
The spirits, evil spirits. What keeps a Jehovah Witness entangled in the maze of Charles Taze Russell's error?
I can't go with that. I don't know. there's
spirits of error. What tangles people up in Mormonism?
Spirit of Antichrist.
And every false religious system there is, what holds them there?
Spirit of Antichrist.
That's right. Now, we know, if we're children of God, we know the Spirit of Truth. And then it says here, Chi. That's a conjunction. And to pneuma tais planes. And the Spirit of the out of, it's either genitive or oblative, either one. You can put it in the oblative here if you want to. If this spirit is one of those that have aligned themselves with Satan.
Antichrist.
Satan is Antichrist, isn't he? These spirits have aligned themselves with Satan, and therefore they belong to that bunch of ungodly buzzards. They are. They're part of it. So as children of God, we know the Spirit of Truth and the Spirit of Error. We know that. That's something that God gives you, isn't it? He gives you discernment. For we're in verse 7 now. This is a beautiful verse. We're kind of jumping. It's kind of staying on the same subject. But verse 7 to verse 21, it's talking about the love of God. And it talks about, in 1 John, it talks about three ways that the love of God is explained to us. Now, we've already, in 1 John 2 and 7 through 11, love is shown as a proof of fellowship with God. Okay? Love is shown as a proof of fellowship with God. In 3:10 through 14, love is love for the brethren is a proof mark of sonship. Love for the brethren. You know, sometimes your brethren give you a hard time. But you do forgive them. Because they're your brothers. Sometimes that happens. So you just go on and you just forgive them because we have this. What have you done to God lately? Does God keep on forgiving you? All right. And number 3, love is the proof that we are saved and have partaken of the very nature of our God. All right? 4, 7 through 16. So remember those things. Now, agapetoi. Agapomen. See, those have the same root, don't they? Aleus. Hote. Hey. Agape. We just keep saying that word over and over again, don't we? Ek, tu, theu, esten, kai, pos, and then ho over there. You need to write ho over there to the end toward that little, right after pos, you need to write this thing right there. Okay? I think I left it out originally. I don't know whether it's in yours or not. Ho, agapon, ek, tu, to you, gaganete, kai, genoske, ton, theon. Now let's look at that. Let's look at this one. Beloved, vocative plural, masculine, beloved. Okay? Beloved, we may love. First person plural, present. It's either indicative or subjunctive here. It's the same. How would you know whether it was indicative or subjunctive? What would tell you? What would tell you? sin tax, the tax on sin, remember? Sin tax. Sin tax means, according to the sentence, according to this verse, we'll tell you what it is. Now, let's look at it. Beloved, may we love, or we should love one another, because, hote, he, agape, the love, out, ek, to, out of the God, it is. Love comes out of God.
Can't come nowhere else.
That's right. The world does not love itself. The world, what do we have out here in the world?
Everybody loving themselves. And loving nobody else.
That's right. You don't have any trouble. I mean, psychologists will tell you so many times, you got to love yourself.
Before you can love anybody else.
You got to love yourself before you can love anybody else. I'll tell you something, you love yourself. Why did families destroy by mothers and fathers? Because they love themselves more than they love their children.
You betcha.
That's what happens.
You can't love yourself and someone else at the same time.
No.
Period. It can't be done.
We get in trouble because we love ourselves too much.
Oh.
All right?
It is too much.
Yeah.
That's
I don't care.
What me and my wife know have more in common than anything else. We both love me.
Beloved,
well, we get along so well.
We should love one another because the love out of the God. It originates from God. Oblative.
God is love.
Oblative, singular, masculine. Out of God, it is. Third person singular, present, indicative, active. That one comes from Amy. And, chi, pos, and every, the one, each and every one. A little pause is an adjective there. Each and every one, the one loving, the one really loving, that's agapone now. Agapone, what kind of love is that? What's agapone?
That's an outward love for others.
This is a sacrificial love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of words for love in Greek. There's quite a few of them.
Some
all right.
Even used in the Greek.
Yeah. Philo, that's a friendship type of love. Mm-hmm. All right. And
Eros,
which
that's
is a that it's well, it's used outside of the scriptures, but it is
in the Greek writings.
In the Greek writings, it is. That's a sexual type of arousing love, poneriao. Now that's a love for evil.
Yeah.
All right, and then we have agapeo. All right, now that's a beautiful word.
That's God's love.
That's a love. That's a love we have, an experimental love that we have from God, a sacrificial love. That's the one that you'll lay your life down. Greater love than this have no man for one another if he lays his life down for his brother. All right? That's the kind of love. It's a sacrificial love. And every the one loving, nominee singular masculine, present participle active, that's the one of them continuum things. Every the one loving, out of the God, et tu theou. That's oblative, singular masculine. He has been born out of God, and that's what the word here, gegenete, means. Third person singular, perfect, indicative, passive. What's a passive voice tell us?
Done to you.
It's been done to you.
Yeah.
You have been caused to be birthed from God. Who caused it?
God
did. God caused you to be born again.
I mean,
all right?
It's very difficult to give your own birth.
That's right. God births us. Jesus told Nicodemus, don't be marveling, don't be struck out of your senses, don't wonder that I tell you that you must be born from above. You must be born again.
And that's fact.
Right. Now, the Jews continuously, every time they baptized a proselyte, they told the proselyte that he was being born again. So they knew what being born again was. They died to their old self, to their old ethnic background, and they were raised anew as a child in the covenant of Abraham. They were part of ethnic Israel now. Before they were a Greek or Roman or whatever, but now they have died to that and they are a child of Abraham.
Blood brothers.
Yeah. Then it says, Kai, Genoske. All right, this one that's been born out of God, this one that's loving, Gnoske, he knows. He understands. Third person singular, present, indicative, active. He knows tone theo. Now, that tone there is what case is that? Tone. In English, it's objective. It's the one receiving the action. Okay? Now, when we are born again, then we know the God. We know Him. We understand Him. Accusative, singular, masculine. Tone theo. That's that word we had up here a while ago. Tone theon. We know Him. We know Him. He knows us. We know Him. The action, first of all, He knows us. The action comes to us. And then we know Him. The action goes to Him. All right? 4 and verse 8. Here's the one that you quoted a while ago, Brother Blanton. Ho, may, agapon, uk, egno, tone, theon, hote, ho, theos, agape, estes. All right. Here's one of the three kinds of love now. Remember, love is shown as a proof of fellowship with God in 1 John 2:7 through 11. Love for the brethren is a proof mark of sonship. 1 John 3:10 through 14. Number three. Love is a proof that we are saved and have partaken, been born again, and we have partaken of the very nature of God. 4:7-16. The one not loving. Ho, that's the one. It's a the there, all right. The is a definite article. You know, the. That's a definite article, all right. The, that ho is. But we have what we call a practical substantive, a little PS. And that's the one there. We understand that one is there. Okay? In the Greek, you understand the one. Not, that's a particle of negation. If you want to write down page 268, you can. That's where you look that up in the Greek lexicon. The one not, agapon, loving. Nominative singular masculine, present participle active. If you don't love God and your brothers, that's an indicator. You're in trouble. The one not loving, not, ook. Now, here we have an adverb of negation. What is an adverb? Usually, I saw this on Jeopardy. My wife was watching Jeopardy the other day, or something on there, and they had and they were describing a verb. And they said, which one of these is an adverb? And boy, they went round and round. They didn't know what an adverb was. What do you have on the end of a word in an adverb many times? L-Y. That's very important. Okay? Modifying a verb. Now here we have a particle of negation in may. Now we have another negative in ook. All right? That's an adverb of negation on page 294, by the way, if you want to look that one up. But it actually, if you want to get right down to translate it incorrectly, it is notly. That's what it, notly. Because it's an active no.
Keep on being no.
When you are born of Satan, when you're born of this world, when you're a child of Adam, you actively hate God. Did you know that? In all reality. Everything you do is contrary to Him. All right? Contrary to Him. The one not loving, notly, continues to be saying no to God. How many times did God convict you before you were saved? You better be saved the first time He convicts you. You don't have any chance of you. I mean, He may just convict you once.
It was just a little process of conviction.
Yeah.
It went on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know what? You can walk away from God and not go back. That's what you call your volition. That's the dangerous, most dangerous thing that God ever gave you. When you don't want to hear God, first of all, God is not going to tell His children to do anything that's contrary to their good. There's nothing out there in the world that's going to do you good that you're going to, that God wants to keep you from doing. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. The reason why you don't need to do that, not good for you. Okay? Let's go on here. The one not loving God, notly, he has known. Look at that. Or he knew, whichever way you want to put it. The thing about it is, notly, he knew. He does not knew. He did not knew. He does not know God. He has not known God. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative active. Tone theon. There's your action. He doesn't know God. Tone theon. Accusative singular maxim. Hote should be translated. It's a conjunction or a casual particle. And that one's on page 294 also. Because the God... Now, this is a very great statement in the Bible right here. Circle this. Memorize it. Whatever you want to do, because this is very important. Ho theos agape estet. The God love he is. Agape, kalipte, plethos, hamartion. That's another one. If you want to write that one down. Love, it covers a multitude of sins. That's how God looks upon you, is through love. That's how you begin to look upon your brothers and sisters.
That's how you and your wife live together.
Yeah.
You let love cover the multitude of
sins. Yes, that's right.
You don't even notice it.
Don't want to.
Don't want to. No interest in it.
You know what God sees when He sees you when you're born again? He sees the blood of His Son. Looking at things through rose-colored glasses, that's really rose-colored glasses.
He knows I'm His.
Yeah.
He overlooks me.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
Sure.
When God looks at you through rose-colored, the color of Jesus' blood, when He looks through that and sees you as His child.
It's necessary. It has to be, or I won't be with Him very long.
That's right. Now, if we love God, you're going to want to see your brothers and sisters saved, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to want to live a life that is in harmony with your Father, God. You're not going to want to go out there. And you might do that now and then. But what happens if you're a child of God and you go out playing around with the world? Your britches get warmed up.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you're a child of God and you go out there and play with the world and do things you're not supposed to, your britches are going to get warmed up.
Spank you up straight.
He's going to spank you up straight. Hidey on. All right. It's going to happen. And what else is going to happen because of that if you go play with the world? Get the stink of the world. And then we pray for a crop failure.
I never did. Mama did.
Yeah. We sow wild oats and then we pray for a crop failure. That's what the Adamic man does. But what happens?
God don't ever have crop failures.
There are no crop failures. You know, we're on Sunday afternoon, I'm teaching the parables. And the parable of the sower. What is the parable? It really shouldn't be the parable of the sower in all reality. It's called the parable of the sower so much. But what should it be called? The parable of the four kinds of soil. That's what it is. And that's talking about individuals there. Four kinds of individuals. And basically, that's what it's talking about here. I think that Peter is up too high.
Same seed, brother.
Yeah.
Same seed.
Same seed. 4 and verse 9.
Same sower.
In. That word in is a preposition. What is the equivalent of it in English?
In.
Oh, isn't that nice? Same thing, same word. Sounds just like it, doesn't it? Page 137, too, if you want to look that up. In tuto. Ephane rothe. Hey, agape, to, theu, in, Himen, hote, ton, huion, altu, ton, monoge, genes, apesta lekin, ho, theos, ace, ton, cosmon, hina, sesamen, di, auto. Actually, that D comes from dia, but because we have a vowel following that dia, they drop the alpha off the end of it, so it's diauton. So it's for, why did we do that? What's that word use? The explanation of why you drop that. What is the word that's used for that? It's for euphony. So it sounds better. Euphony means good sound. It sounds good. Ton kosmon hina sosamen diato.
That's what. Because they don't want double A in there.
Yeah. It would be a dia auto, but right, this it sounds better, diato.
It's unhandy. Mm-hmm.
All right, in this, and here we have the word here, because of this, third person singular, first active, first aorist, that is, indicative, passive. Because of this, it has been made known, or easily seen, it has been made known, look at that passive voice there. It has been made known, the love. Hey, agape. What kind of love is this? Divine love. The divine love of the God. It belongs to Him and it comes from Him. It's in the oblative and the genitive. Right here, it goes either way because it comes from God and it belongs to God. That's the origin and that's the possession, case of possession and the case of origin also. And then in Him
and he means for that love to be returned to him.
That's right.
Perfect. That's perfect love.
You know, when you get to this, let's go back and they made a few movies in the last 10 or 15, 20 years, I guess, about people, especially men, creating an object of love. I think they had the Stepford Wives or something like that. Remember that movie and a book?
Robotic type wives?
No, they were robots.
Who wants one?
Robots. And then there was another one that was made on that order where a guy, his robot, died and he went to find another robot like this one. He wanted one just like the one he loved. That's pretty funny. But you know what? A hyper-Calvinist believes that.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
Hyper-Calvinism believes that.
God causes you to.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. If God did not create robots,
no.
Because robots can't love you.
No.
Robot can't love you back. They're not Stepford. We're not Stepford Wives. I think that's the term. The Lord created angels with a volition. He created spirits with a volition, and He created man with volition. Now that is the most dangerous thing that God ever gave you. I can guarantee you. Because you could go away from God, and you could go to hell. God makes a provision for all men, 1 John 2 and 2. He is our propitiation. Propitiation not only for us, but the whole cosmos. Jesus Christ died to gain the whole world back. He bought it all back because He was related to it. And all mankind and all the material universe, He's buying back. And He's going to bring it back. And Ephesians 1 and 10 and 11 tells us something else. When we are bought back to God, we are bought back on one for one valuable commodity. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. That God will make all things go back into harmony with Him through the merits of His Son. Now you can finalize that in every way, but we are not robots. Robots cannot love you back. You love God because you partake of His nature. And you love Him back. If you were a robot, we'd say, I love you, and it wouldn't mean nothing. Because He would make you say, I love you. A robot is programmed. Hyper-Calvinism has got a problem with it.
That's definitely a carnal mind trying to understand spiritual things.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It's a carnal mind trying to understand spiritual things.
Carnal mind can't comprehend spiritual things.
I mean, there's all stages of it. There's superlapsarian, infralapsarian, and sublapsarian. Okay? The superlapsarians, they got some real problems up there. I'm telling you.
Yep.
They go so far as to say that people are created to be saved and people are created to go to hell. And nothing ever happens in the cosmos and ever has happened that God didn't make it happen.
Yeah, that's
now,
totally
that totally does away with the volition of all things. That makes robots. Now, how can you account a robot? When you've got a robot, how do you account sin to that robot if you programmed it to go the wrong way?
I know that's not the image of God.
No, it's not. That changes the person of God.
That's saying that God is like that, too, because He created man in His image.
That's right.
That's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
That's just stupid.
All right. The love, hey, agape, the love of God in us. The love of God is in us because ton huion. This is beautiful now. Ton huion. What is the word? Now, there's several words for son, isn't there? There's techno, which means the live birth, and a child, a son, daughter, whatever. But huion, that's different. That's a real special word, isn't it?
How about air?
That's air. That's the air. All right? Because the air of Him. The air of Him. The firstborn. John 1:14. Quote that from me, Brother David.
Kai.
And the Word, flesh He became. Why did the Word become flesh? So that He could redeem us back to Himself. All right, and this is the Son of God. This is God the Son that became flesh that He could buy us back to Him. The Son of Him, the monogene, the only begotten. This is John 3:16 and the whole John the third chapter all over again, isn't it? And John the first chapter also. If you can go, you can put down here John 1:1 through John 3:36 if you want to. The Son, the only begotten. For God, what? So loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, it didn't say program the ones only, whosoever will may have everlasting life. All right? He said, for He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through Him might have life. Now, if there was no volition there, it would say will have or no, will won't have, but might have. That's subjunctive.
And there's an understood word in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Might have my life.
Yeah.
God's life. That we
yeah. Have. Might have God's life. Of Him, the only begotten, He has sent. That word apostolic in there. That word is third person singular, perfect indicative active. Perfect tense. He has sent. It's been done. One time. He has sent the God unto the world. All right? And this is beautiful too. The God has sent His Son unto the world, but the God has sent Himself unto the world. John 1:18. All right? No one has seen God at any time but the only begotten God. All right? Basically, in the end of John 1:18, it says that He has led Himself out of eternity into space and time unto the world in order that we might live. First person plural, first aorist subjunctive active. We might live. Everybody that hears the Word of God, they either can accept it or reject it. They can choose life or death. Which one is it? We might live through Him. By the agency of Him, through Him. Thank you for your attention tonight.
Good class.
Thank you.
Especially my part.
Well, brother, you were a great asset to the class tonight.
I love this class. I get this class.
Great asset to the class. I'm glad your eyeballs are getting better. And
I'll have glasses pretty soon, and I can read again. If you want to try something, brother, try to teach a class or preach or something when you can't see good enough to read. You can't read the Bible. You can't read your... No, you can't read nothing. That's hard for an old man.
Yeah. I remember. I know exactly what you're talking about, because when they did my cancer surgery, I was in the hospital down there, and I could not read. I couldn't read because my eyes, I was so anemic that I could not focus. They didn't give me any blood. And prostate surgery is a bad surgery. They cut me, they gutted me and put me back together. And 2 weeks after I had the surgery, I was up there teaching Greek from memory. Because I could not see. I had to write it out so big.
That ain't very easy.
You were there, Brother David. You were there.
He had his bag here.
I had a catheter and IV.
He had pajamas on.
I couldn't put clothes on. I had my pajamas on.
He's rolling down.
I told my wife that day, I said, let's go to church. She said, you got to be kidding. I said, now I'm alive.
Here comes Clint.
I'm alive. Here I am. I said, let's go. I said, steer me there. I couldn't see the drive, for sure. I said, steer me there, and it's aiming me in the right place. I come a walking. Huh? Well, I was moving real slow. Well, well, it was good for me to walk anyway. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'm going to turn you loose on the world. Go out there and do something eternal this week. Brother Randall.